Chapter 3. A Railway Journey. The following morning, Bobby went up to London to meet a friend who was thinking of opening a garage and who was hoping that Bobby would be working there with him. 2 days later, he went to get on the 11:30 train home. The train was moving, and he jumped into the first carriage he saw. It was a first-class one, and the only passenger was a dark-haired girl smoking a cigarette. She had on a red skirt, a short green jacket, and a little blue hat. And despite sad dark eyes, she was very good-looking.
"Why, it's you, Frankie," Bobby said. "I haven't seen you for ages. Well, sit down and talk."
Bobby grinned.
"My ticket is the wrong colour."
"That doesn't matter," said Frankie kindly. "I'll pay the difference."
Just then, a large figure in a blue uniform appeared. Frankie smiled at the ticket collector, who touched his hat respectfully as he took her ticket.
"Mr. Jones has just come in to talk to me for a short time," she said. "That won't matter, will it?"
"That's all right, your ladyship."
"What can be done with a smile?" said Bobby, as the ticket collector went out.
Lady Frances Derwent shook her head thoughtfully.
"I think it's Father's habit of tipping everybody really well whenever he travels that does it."
"I thought you had given up Wales for good, Frankie."
Frances sighed.
"After the party I went to last night, I thought even home couldn't be worse."
"What was wrong with the party?"
"Nothing. It was just like any other party, only more so. It was to start at the Savoy at 8:30. We had dinner and then went on to the Marionette Club. There was a rumour it was going to be raided by the police, but nothing happened. It was just boring. And we drank a bit and then we went on to the Bullring Nightclub, and that was even more boring. And then we thought we would go and have breakfast with Angela's uncle, and we were even more bored, so we went home. Honestly, Bobby, it's not good enough."
"I suppose not," said Bobby, resisting a feeling of jealousy.
Never in his wildest moments did he dream of being able to be a member of the Marionette or the Bullring. His relationship with Frankie Derwent was a strange one. As children, he and his brothers had played with the Derwent children at the castle. Now they were grown up, they rarely met. On the few occasions when Frankie was at home, Bobby and his brothers would go up and play tennis. But Frankie and her two brothers were not asked to the vicarage. No one said anything about it, but it was thought that the young Derwents, who were of so much higher a social class than the Jones family, would not enjoy themselves in such simple surroundings. But Bobby was very fond of Frankie, and was always pleased on the rare occasions when they met.
"I am so bored with everything," said Frankie in a tired voice. "Aren't you?"
"No, I don't think I am."
"My dear, how wonderful," said Frankie. "By the way, what's all this about a man falling over the cliffs?"
"Dr. Thomas and I found him," said Bobby. "How did you know about it?"
"I saw it in the paper. Look."
She pointed to a paragraph headed, "Fatal accident in sea mist. The victim of the tragedy at Marchbolt was identified late last night from a photograph he was carrying. The photograph proved to be that of Mrs. Leo Kamen, who identified the deceased as her brother, Alex Pritchard, recently returned from Siam. He had been out of England for 10 years and was just starting on a walking tour. The inquest will be held at Marchbolt tomorrow."
"I suppose I will have to give evidence," Bobby said.
"How exciting!"
"I don't suppose there will be anything exciting about it," said Bobby. "We found him. Then he died about 1/4 hour later."
"Rather unpleasant," said Frankie. "Did you see the sister?"
"No,
I had to see a friend of mine about a garage business we're starting up. You remember Badger Beeden? He's got funny eyes and a silly laugh. Ho, ho, ho!
Frankie frowned, trying to remember Badger.
He fell off his horse when we were kids, continued Bobby helpfully. He got stuck in the mud head down, and we had to pull him out by the legs.
Oh, said Frankie, I know now. Did he also run a chicken farm which failed?
That's right.
And then they sent him to Australia, and he came back.
Yes.
Bobby, said Frankie, you're not putting any money into this garage business, are you?
I haven't got any money to put in, said Bobby.
Just as well, said Frankie.
Badger has tried to get hold of someone with money to put some in, but it isn't as easy as you would think.
When you look round you, said Frankie, you would not believe people had any sense at all. But they have.
At last, Bobby understood the point of these remarks.
Look here, Frankie, he said. Badger is one of the very best.
They always are, said Frankie.
Who are?
The ones who go to Australia and come back again. How did he find the money to start this business?
An aunt died and left him a garage for 6 cars. And his parents gave him £100 to buy second-hand cars with. You'd be surprised how cheap second-hand cars can be.
I bought one once, said Frankie. It's a painful subject. Let's not talk of it. So, you're looking for work? What did you want to leave the Navy for?
Bobby's face reddened.
Eyes, he said sadly.
You always had trouble with your eyes, I remember.
I just managed to get accepted by the Navy. Then service abroad in the strong light made my eyes worse. So, well, I had to leave. It's such a shame. I could have carried on perfectly well.
They look all right, said Frankie.
She looked straight into his honest brown eyes.
So you see, said Bobby, I am going to go into business with Badger.
It was just after 5 o'clock when they reached Sylum, which was the station for Marchbolt.
Our driver's meeting me, said Frankie. I'll give you a lift.
Thanks. That will save me carrying this thing for 2 miles.
He kicked his suitcase.
It's 3 miles, not 2, said Frankie.
2 miles if you go by the footpath at the edge of the golf course.
The one where...
Yes, where that poor man went over the edge.
I don't suppose someone pushed him over, asked Frankie.
Good Lord, no. Why?
Well, it would make it much more exciting, wouldn't it?
Said Frankie casually.